All right, thank you, Brother Leah. Everybody doing well? Are we good? All right. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. Oh. Anyways, that's not what I meant. But hope you're ready to be able to study the Word of God tonight in the book of Nehemiah. You find your place in the book of Nehemiah, if you would. And I hope you're ready to do a little Bible study there. You think we can cover the whole book? Probably not. Not talking about the whole book being the Bible, but the whole book of Nehemiah. I don't know that we can cover that either as well. But Nehemiah chapter 2, we'll look at a few things. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Most of the time, my go-to is the New Testament, so this is a little bit out of sorts for me. But the Old Testament is just as good as the New Testament. Do you agree? But most of the time, we don't go to the Old Testament, but it's just as good. And so the Old Testament, we are there tonight. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, I hope this is a blessing to you. And we're going to talk about just one. Just one. And I want you to notice something, if you would, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. This is Nehemiah, and what he does, he says, "And I arose in the night." How many of you know at nighttime you're supposed to be sleeping? Right? That's what God designed, that darkness, so that we go to sleep. But he says, I arose in the night, and I had some few men with me. Just a few. But he says this, "Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon." And so he says, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley and even before the dragon well and to the dung port and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." And he says, "Then I went unto the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night." Have you noticed a pattern here yet? When he's traveling at nighttime, isn't he? He's a night owl. Nighttime traveling by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Why is he doing this? It's because of this. He noticed something in verse 13. He says, "The view of the walls of Jerusalem, which were what? Broken down. And the gates thereof were consumed with fire." Nehemiah, in the quiet of the night, is recognizing something that for generation after generation after generation, everyone seemed to overlook and seemed to say, oh, too much of a mess, too much of a problem, too much work, too much trouble to try to repair. Too much rubble. Just let it be. Let it be. But Nehemiah, God had put something in his heart that really allowed him to see something that needed to take place. Something that was left for 100 plus years alone. Nobody's willing to touch it. But now Nehemiah, in the quiet of the night, is looking at it and seeing it's broken down, it's rubbish, it's been burned with fire. It looks nasty. It looks horrible. It looks unrepairable. But God had given him a vision. And God had said something for him to do. And he was now set on his way. This broken wall that he sees and the broken walls, he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, it says, they symbolized a greater decay than just broken pieces everywhere. It actually symbolized what was in the lives of the Israelites. Because the Israelite people had gone by and gone by year after year, 100 plus years. And it showed that they had become accustomed to the rubble. They had become accustomed to what it just looked like. The mess, leave it for somebody else. The trouble, someone else will deal with it. One generation after another. It almost, I would imagine that they had this thought, it's unrepairable. It's too big a deal to try to fix. Don't even try. I imagine that people thought something like this, it's always going to be that way. Might as well leave it that way. Amen. No use repairing it. It's too much work. It's too much of a mess. It's nothing but junk and rubbish. It's no good. Why try to make it good again? The people accepted the brokenness of Jerusalem as a normal thing. But notice in verse 17, it says this, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in. You see it. You've chosen to do nothing about it. You see it, and I'm seeing it, and in the quiet of the night, he's looking at it, and it's affecting his heart." You know this, your eye affects your heart, doesn't it? And what he's looking at, he's allowing his eye to affect his heart. Everyone else has seen it for 100 plus years, done nothing about it. But he knows he's going to now have to answer to God because God had put something in his heart. Has God put anything in your heart to do for God? Nehemiah is now seeing God has a mission in mind. God has a plan. God has something that he's to lead. He's just one man. He's just one. One man can make a difference. One day can make a difference. And so one day at a time, one day at a time. First of all, tonight I want us to see this, that it's one day at a time. You know, sometimes we got to be willing to see our condition first. We want to overlook our condition. We want to think it's, well, it's just not going to change. I'm just going to live with it. But we got to recognize what's broken in our lives first. How many of you know there's times where you feel broken? And how many know that God takes a mess and he'll make a message from a mess? Thank God for that. Hopefully, that's what he'll do tonight with this message. No. No, he loves to take a mess and turn it into a message. He really does for his glory. And so notice verse 17, it says this. Not only that they see the distress that they're in, and Nehemiah is seeing it, and Nehemiah is going to do something different about it than what they've chosen to do, nothing. He wants to do something about it. He says, "How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be of no more a reproach." You know, this is a reproach. Can you imagine if Williamstown was nothing but a bunch of rubbish, burned with fire, broken walls, broken buildings, concrete just all busted up everywhere, looking like a trash heap, you know, trash pile? "I am proud to live in Williamstown." Would you? Would you be? I don't think so. And so here's Jerusalem. It's a reproach. Now they put up with it. They've seen it day after day, year after year. But Nehemiah's going to do something about it. Nehemiah's chosen. He's going to do something different than what's been done with everyone else that's seen the same exact thing that he's seen. Matter of fact, what he's seen is worse than probably what they saw because it's just been left undone and it's really gotten to be really bad. Right? And you know this, over time, a place left alone, a dilapidated house, becomes really bad. Right? And so you need someone to make a difference. And so Nehemiah knows by God's help, by God's strength, but does he try to accomplish it on his own? Not at all. You're familiar with the story, you know this, that it's a matter they have a mind to work. But it's the people. And look, he's already calling them out. He's saying, "Let us rise up and build. Let's go. Come on, let's do this. And I know that I cannot do it on my own. We're going to have to do this all together. I need you a part of this. Let us rise up. Get up off your tail. And let's get your feet moving. You know, quit just looking at it. Let's do something about it. Let us rise up and we're going to build." And he says this, "So they strengthen their hands for this good work." Do you see that in verse 18? And it's because they don't want to be no more reproach. But he says, "I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me." Now he's carrying some power with it. This is not just on his own, some idea he has on his own. No, he's saying God has been good and God is still going to be good to us. And God takes a mess and he'll make a message from it. And so, be a part of this. Rise up and build. Come on, let's build together. And by the way, they do. And so, rise up and build. This is not a small task, by the way. This is not a garden picket fence. This is not your white little picket fence that your neighbor has. This is more like a wall that ends up being 2.5 miles long. 30 to 40 feet high. 8 feet thick. Not going to happen overnight. Just one day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. He says, let us rise up and build. The people are not even going to be in all the details, but they're going to be in on the progress. And majority of the people choose to be in on the progress. Look at chapter 3 and just stay with me if you can. And we won't read the whole chapter, but you're going to see all kinds of groups of people. Chapter 3, verse 1. You see the words, and they builded the sheep gate? Let's bump over to verse 2. Then builded the men of Jericho. Next to them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. Verse 3, the fish gate to the sons of Hasna built. Verse 4, and next to them repaired. And then it continues to say, repaired Meshulam, the son of Barakai. All these, you know, easy names to say, you know. Verse 5, and next to them the Tekites repaired, but they're not. It's interesting, verse 5, and you're going to study this out on your own, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. They were too good to do it. By the way, position never equals spirituality. Just because you have a title doesn't mean you're really in on God's work. Moreover, the old gate repaired, verse 6, and laid the beams and set up the doors. And verse 7, next unto them repaired. Next unto them repaired. Verse 8, they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Verse 9, next unto them repaired. And 10, next unto them. Now I sound like a broken record. It's just group after group after group, men after men, and ladies after ladies. And I mean, everybody is in on this. And it's this group from this area and this group from this area. And somehow Nehemiah's leadership, because he was such a great man. No, because he had such a great God. And he says, you know, this is something that God has called me to do. So let's go and perform it. Let's do it. And so let's go. We're going to do this. And you want to be a part of it? Then be a part of it. And many people did become a part of it. And thankfully so, because it took one day at a time. I mean, these are areas that are being repaired that are having to be built up and set up and bars put up and fountains and gates and fish gate and this gate and that gate. I mean, chapter 3 is nothing but repairing. The whole chapter is really talks about the repair. Down to verse 32. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. All kinds of different people. All kinds of different talents. All kinds of different gifts. All kinds of different things that one group could do and another group had no clue how to do. But you talk about it, you know, all kinds of orchestrated events taking place all at the same time. And how did it happen? Did it just happen overnight? No, it's one day at a time, one brick after another brick, one person after another person, one gate after another gate. You know, how does anything get built that's really going to stand? It takes time, doesn't it? And I just want to say this tonight. What's broken does not have to stay broken. And I'm glad that God is a God of repairs. Because this is God. It's doing. And God loves to do these kind of things. God loves to do a work with His people. And God did not expect them to rebuild the whole wall in one day. He just expected them to be laying the next brick. Just help. Just be a part. Just serve where you can serve. Just do what you can do. That's what God expected. Nehemiah 4:6. Here's a halfway point. Not in the message, but in the building of the wall. Nehemiah 4:6. Nehemiah 4:6 says this. It says, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know some people that have a mind to work? Prayerfully, you're one of those people. You have a mind to work. You wake up early. Maybe you go to sleep late. But you work in between. You have a mind to work. You know, it's better to have a body that's busy than to be a busy body. Right? Sometimes if we get our body more busy, we wouldn't, you know, struggle with the busy body stuff. But here's the thing. By the way, I didn't even have that in my notes. I just came free tonight for you. They're halfway there. Nehemiah 4:6. They're halfway there. Isn't it interesting that God tells us about the project even at the halfway point? Because God is never done with us. And He knows that what He begins in us, He's going to perform until the day of Jesus Christ. But He wants us to know that some things are getting accomplished. Yeah, you've made it to this point, but you're not done. I'm not done. It's not over. The wall's not built yet, but it's getting built. It's getting accomplished. And you can do it. You can make it with His strength. Because you know why? God is behind us when we're at work for His work. And when we're doing what He wants us to do, He supports us. He wants His will to be done, so when His will is being done in our lives, He's got our back. And so, the God of heaven, look at Nehemiah 2, verse 19, it says this, I love this, in verse 20, you have to turn a page back. I told you we'd be in Nehemiah, so that means we're going to bounce around a little bit. And Nehemiah 2:20 says, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, by the way, this is after you got some critiques, you got some criticism. You always get criticism when you're trying to do something for God because the devil can't stand it and he uses people sometimes and he'll use whatever he can to get you to stop doing what you're doing. But be ready. If you're going to do something for God, there's going to be some criticism. The Sanballat, Tobias, these guys, they came out and they laughed, they scorned, they despised. They made fun of, but then this is what Nehemiah says. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Amen. Therefore we His servants will arise and build. And he says this, ye have no portion. In other words, to these guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, these guys that were making fun of them. He says, you don't have a claim. You don't have any authority. You don't even have a legacy. You are outsiders to God's plan. And we're right in dead center, middle of God's plan, His will. So, sorry guys, see you later. You can talk, you can make fun of us, you can mock, you can laugh, you can despise us. We're going to do this no matter what. We're going to go with God's plan because He's the one who's going to prosper us and He is the God of heaven. Pretty high authority, high orders coming from God of heaven. But God wants us to realize one day at a time. So you know what He wants you and I to do? Just keep going. Step by step. Little by little. Press forward. By the way, I believe someone needs to hear this tonight. Otherwise, I believe God would not put this on my heart. Nehemiah 6:15. What happens before you know it? Now, before you know it, the halfway point becomes the whole point. And now we're at a finishing point. God's going to use this. And Nehemiah 6:15 says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month. You little in, you see that? 50 and 2 days. That's a long time to work. Steady, nonstop, day after day, hour after hour. Hard work. Nothing easy about this. I don't believe any of these things were small chores. I believe this was a big deal. This is a big task. I mean, 8 feet thick. I mean, it's quite the wall. Why are they doing all this? Why now? You know, the thing of it is because God's people built the wall not because they were strong, but because they realized their God was strong. They worked next to each other. They actually got along. They worked one section at a time. They actually didn't try to jump to another section. They all had their areas. They stayed in their areas, and they got it done. It took a long time. But they trusted God to prosper the work one day at a time. You know, rarely does God ask of any of us to fix everything in one day. Just get this all fixed today, like right now. When does God work that way? Well, I see God. I know He even created the earth in, 6 days? Right? And then He rested the seventh, right? But here's the thing. God always asks us to just take the next step. One more step. One more day at a time. One more brick at a time. I'm thankful that the Lord only expects us one day at a time to do things. Because it would be just too overwhelming, wouldn't it? It would get too daunting and too much. And Psalm 119 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That sounds like He's going to allow His word to be that light right in front of us. And that lamp, or that light to light our path, that lamp to our feet. Why feet? Why path? It's one day at a time. Some other verses that think about day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. That's for our needs. What about this? His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, every day. Right? What about in Psalm 68 it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amen. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily, daily, praise God, loadeth us up with benefits. Daily. Love it. Even the God of our salvation, strength daily. Not all at once, but daily He will. Daily He'll give to you. You know, sometimes God allows situations in our lives to be too heavy for us to carry on our own so that we'll realize we need God. You know, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 10 talks a lot about that. And even 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says, His grace is sufficient for thee, and it's made perfect in our weakness. So really we need to rely on His strength, not our own. It's been put this way by one person. They put it this way, the greatest fear shouldn't be failure, but our greatest fear should be succeeding at things that don't matter for eternity. And then learning to live a life as if we don't need God. That should be our greatest fear. Temporary strength, you and I can have that. But lasting strength, you better tap into God. Realize that God would give that to you. Lasting strength is only available through Him. And you know what? To do that, you're going to see a common thing that takes place with Nehemiah. And that is, secondly, one prayer after another. One prayer after another. How does Nehemiah have this strength? How does he have this leadership? How does he have the wherewithal to get all these people, you know, not around him, but around the purpose that God has put on his life? It's one prayer after another. You know, strength comes through prayer. Look at Nehemiah 6:9. It says this, for they all made us afraid. These guys are now, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem are really getting to them. They're making them afraid. I mean, you talk about just very few people and then many, many people, but it doesn't only take but a few people that are critics to try to slow the work down that God's trying to do. And so look at it. They say this, they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Who's he going to? Who is he calling out to? The one who can give him strength. God and God alone. Nehemiah 1:4 through 11 is a prayer that Nehemiah prays. Nehemiah 2:4, if you were to look at that, you'll see that he prays to the God of heaven for wisdom. He says, for what dost thou make thy request? So I pray to the God of heaven. This is after the king is hitting him up. And so he wants to make sure his answer is right to the king. And he's begging God to give him wisdom and how he answers. In adversity, Nehemiah 4, verse 4 through 5. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. I mean, he's talking to God like he knows him. And he's talking to God in a very plain way, saying, these guys, God, would you almost just take care of them? Would you turn their reproach unto their own head? Give them for a prey in the land of captivity? Does that sound nice? Not too good. But he's being real to God. Is he talking to others about these guys? No, he's talking to his God. But these guys are giving him a hard time, and everybody knows he's giving him a hard time. Yeah, he's talking to God about them. Amen. And he's gone to the right one. And cover not, and then he knows in verse 5, it's like he has a heart change. Cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. Wow. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. He realizes that these guys are not going up against him and the people. They're going up against God. And so he's talking to God about it. And then he says, so built we the wall. And so deliverance from enemies, praying with God's people. Nehemiah 9, verse 5 through 38. We won't spend the time there, but that's a place you'd find. Verses 5, literally all the way down through verse 38, he's praying with God's people. Time and time again, their prayers are being lifted up as a group collectively. Now they've come together. Nehemiah 9, verse 5 through 38. Nehemiah 13, he's praying for God's remembrance. He's saying in every need, Nehemiah's response is prayer. And he's praying for every need that comes into his life. He sees the need in Jerusalem. He prays. He runs up against obstacles. He prays. He says in Nehemiah 4:9, it's really interesting. Verse 8, it says, they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it, to stop what's going on here. They have this mind to work. They're building this wall. And now you got this group that wants to just hinder it. Just put this to a stop. This is ridiculous. Just let's get these people to just quit. Verse 9, Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You know what he did? Nevertheless, we're going on. We're keeping on going. We're not just Energizer Bunny Rabbit either. This is going. Because they know this is what God has called them to do. Nobody's going to stop them. Nobody's going to keep them from doing what God has for them. And we'll keep an eye on them. We're going to watch them, make sure they're not going to, you know, cause any trouble. So we keep them watched day and night. But nevertheless, we're going to continue. You know, one of the greatest ways to stop your critics is just keep doing what you're doing. If it's right. And if it's what God's called you to do. Just keep about the task. Keep about the task. And so he continues to beg God and remembers God's promises. As a matter of fact, he starts to even name God's promises back to him. And so you know why Nehemiah is able to do that? Because he knows God's promises. And I just want to encourage you tonight in this matter that the more promises that we receive from God as far as our reading in the Bible, the more that we can then remind God about, which he already knows them, but he wants to see that we know them. God, you know how you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me? God, you know I need some courage right now. You know Joshua, you know, remember that man Joshua in 1:9? God, would you give me some courage of Joshua? You know, the only way you're going to know that is if you know about Joshua and be able to remind God of his promise there. God, would you give me some hope from Romans 15? Would you give me some strength? I'm asking for some strength because I feel real weak right now. God, would you give me some peace that passes understanding? Would you give me that peace from Isaiah 26? Would you give me that peace? Would you give me wisdom that you say, if I ask for it, you'll give it to me liberally? But I got to ask you for it. So God, I'm reminding you of this promise that if I ask, and I'm asking, that you'll give. Would you give? The only way you can do that is if you're familiar with the Word of God. So let's just ransack the Word of God for promises after promises, and then use those promises in our prayers. How's that sound? That's a good idea. And then one God-given purpose. Number 3, one God-given purpose. What's their purpose? Rise up, build. Rise up, build. You rise up, you help build. You rise up, you help build. If we all rise up and build, you know how much gets accomplished with an army of people? So much more, right? And so Nehemiah 2:10, there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Nehemiah is committed to a purpose larger than himself. Larger than himself. Nehemiah 2:12, God had put it in his heart. How did he know that God had put it in his heart? Because he had a walk with God. I wonder, and I thought about this as I was studying this. I thought, is there things that I'm going to miss out from God if I don't have a walk with God? You better believe it. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me. So Nehemiah 2:12, it is God that put it on his heart. And the only way to know what God wants is to spend time with God. The communion with God is where real ministry begins. Leonard Ravenhill said, to be much for God, we must be much with God. Amen. Let me repeat that again. To be much for God, we must be much with God. And so, this is important. Nehemiah's twofold purpose, to restore the structure of the walls, restore the strength of the nation. And Nehemiah stays on point to the purpose God had given him. And it's been said that a man who gets results that others want is the man who does what others won't. Why Nehemiah? Well, he had a walk with God. prayer after prayer after prayer, praying and sweet communion with God, a relationship with God. No wonder God speaks to him and says, hey, got a mission for you. Rise up and build. No wonder he's able to get some others to not follow him, but to follow his God. Because he could speak highly of his God to them, and they got behind it. And they realized it was important. And they must have realized this in Nehemiah 2:10. The last point for tonight is who they were going to report to. One to whom you report. Just one. One day at a time. One prayer after another. You know, the one God-given purpose, and then the one to whom you report. Nehemiah 2:10, it says this. Nehemiah 2, verse 10, it says, When Sanballat, Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Isn't it interesting that the Word of God does not say there was come a man to build up the wall? There was come a man to make everything better. There was come a man to do something no one else had done. What a man! No, it doesn't say that. There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It took one man. And that one man cared about the welfare, and not the welfare program we're thinking of, but the welfare, in other words, what was best, what was good, what was right, what was going to be better for the children of Israel. He cared about the children of Israel? Like, you mean the whole nation of Israel? Well, this made such a difference, this wall, that it strengthened that nation. It protected that nation. And this was given by God on purpose to not be just left in the dust, but to now have a wall built. And so, Nehemiah knows this, that this was called of God for him to do. And so he just goes about it no matter what. And much grief and much calluses and much pain and much tears and probably much agony. And I would imagine that not everybody got along and all the time while they were working. And the sweat and the pain and the hurt, you know, people that got injured, things that took place. I mean, this many people to do this kind of work, stuff's going to happen. It's not just going to be, you know, oh, it was a walk in the park. You know, just, you know, eat your cake and have your ice cream too. No, this was a big deal. This is something, matter of fact, with every wave of victory came opposition. Every one of them. Look, as we finish out this evening, would you notice some things with me? It gets worse. So if you go from Nehemiah 2:10, that's wonderful. There was come a man. Great. To seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Okay, well now let's ride in. Let's get into to the nitty-gritty. Let's get into what really happens. Nehemiah 4:1-3. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, something's happening, that he was wroth, took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Sound like encouragement? Not really at all. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What in the world? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Good luck. You know, they trying to do something, and a little fox will take it out. Opposition's coming. Anger, jealousy, spewing out, sarcasm, ridicule, assumption, and jumping to conclusions, little fox, motives, and they're speaking ill of their abilities, the Jews, they're feeble. What they began, they're not going to be able to finish. Stinging ridicule, now it's turned to threats. Verse 7. Sent by Tobiah, the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, sound like they got a bigger group together with themselves. By the way, just because there's a group doesn't mean that you should be a part of it. Because everybody's doing doesn't mean it's right. Look, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth and conspired all them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. The devil's trying to get the good work stopped, and he's going to use anybody he can to hinder it. Have you ever had Sambal and Tobias in your life? Ridiculers don't realize that the ones doing the work are on a mission for somebody else. They're doing this for God, not themselves. And because of God. By the way, you and I don't answer to the critics. We answer to God. Do what Nehemiah does. He ignores the criticism and he keeps on going. Verse 9, they set a watch. They continue to build the wall. Nehemiah 4:6, he just says, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together. And this is at their halfway point. And you know that it took 52 days to get to the finish point. You know, one of Satan's goals is to get us distracted and sidetracked. And he'll do whatever it takes. This is why 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. So I say just one day at a time is all God expects. Use his word daily in your life. Before you know it, the wall's done. 52 days later. Can you imagine standing back and looking at that and seeing and feeling we're protected? God gave us this mission. He helped us to fulfill it. If it weren't for God, there is no way we could have done this. And that's exactly right. You know, it wasn't about Nehemiah at that point. And it never was about Nehemiah even at the start of the point. He just wanted one day after another day after another day. And before you knew it, 52 days later, quite the accomplishment. One prayer after another. He stayed praying when the conflict came. He was already praying when the days were good. And God gave him something in his time with God that he gave no one else. It's as if God entrusted him with something that he could do with God's help. And Nehemiah did. Just one God-given purpose. Seek God. Have compassion. Just one person to whom we report to. You know, Jesus himself is the one we're all going to stand before. And he is the only one that matters. It's all that matters. Excuse me, but hell or high water comes to your life, you are only going to answer to God for what you do with it. And I will only answer to God for what I do with it. And so I better just buckle down when the days are hard, when it's rough, and just say, you know, I'm going to make it one more prayer. You know what? I'm going to make it one more day. You know, it's going to be one more God-given purpose he's given me. What is my purpose? Well, I know I'm supposed to talk to somebody about Jesus today. I know I'm supposed to have the ministry of reconciliation. I know there's some things that God has given me to do. I know I'm to stay true to him. I know I'm to talk with him and spend time with him. I know I'm to encourage someone, try to show compassion to somebody else. There's all kinds of things I start to think about that God has given me to do. And I'm going to answer one day to him of what I've done or not done. And who I report to is all that matters. Dear Jesus, help us to just take just one more soul, one more day, one more prayer, one more church service to attend, one more devotion to have with our family, one more walk with you, one more step tonight, tomorrow, in the way that you would want us to go. May we not fall short in trying to do things on our own, but Lord, help us to rely completely on thee. Thank you for Nehemiah and this book of the Bible that you've given to us to learn so much and gather from. I pray that even some of the truths that were shared tonight were a help to someone in some way, somehow. And I know the Word of God does not return void. So Lord, we pray that the Word of God that's been shared this evening has been a help to someone even for the rest of their week. And what a wonderful thing it'd be for the rest of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us. And I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.